Password protected. Bylight gets in. Read by Neurotic Squirrel. Patrick's phone buzzed with a text in the elevator on the way down for hotel breakfast. He almost didn't look at it because he already knew it would be Johnny, demanding to know where the fuck he was and why he was an entire 6 minutes late. But when he pulled the phone out, the text said only, August 9, 1988. It's good for 10 days. Patrick stared at it, his mouth going dry. It'd been months since the last one. He'd forgotten what it felt like, the swoop of surprise, the clench in his belly, the adrenaline making him prickle crazily under the skin. Patrick cast his mind frantically back over the past couple of days, trying to figure out something particularly awesome he'd done. Maybe his three-point game against the Ducks? But that was last month. Dude, Shawzy said, elbowing him as the elevator doors opened. Stop with the crazy eyes. Yeah, Patrick said vaguely, trailing after him into the dining room. Most of the guys were already there. Johnny was at the table with Sharpie and Crow and Bix. He shot Patrick a judgmental stare, tapping his wrist. What the fuck ever. Patrick loaded up a plate at the buffet, starting with protein and working his way out from there like they were supposed to. He ended up sitting with Hossa, which worked out because Hoss didn't really talk before noon most days, and Patrick wasn't up to a conversation either. He ate his eggs and stared around the room at all the guys coming and going and wondered. Who else had gotten a text this morning? Who else knew? No one was staring back at him, but that didn't mean much. It could be Dunks. He was usually a good bet. Or it could be Hossa. Who knew what he was thinking behind his coffee cup? If he even was thinking yet. It could be half the team. There could be 10 guys in this room wandering around with texts on their phones, right next to their hotel keycards, just as if Patrick was an electronic lock, and they could open him up too, whenever they wanted. Well, whenever in the next 10 days. Patrick breathed steadily, made himself calm down, and ate. Chances were nothing would happen for days, if at all. It could be half the team, or it could just as easily be no one here, or no one at all. That had never happened, but it could. Anything could. He grunted a goodbye to Hoss when he was done, and went back up to his room. He was just finishing up brushing his teeth when there was a knock on the door. It was Sharpie, carrying a to-go cup of coffee and grinning cheerfully. Peaks, he said, pushing casually in. He sauntered over to the unmade bed and slung a hotel pillow down onto the floor. August 9, 1988, he said, and then in the same breath, on your knees. Patrick went down with a muffled thump. Sharpie's grin widened. He took a gulp of his coffee, then put the cup on the nightstand so he could scratch his fingers into Patrick's curls. Been a while, eh? He said. Patrick nodded. He could actually feel his pulse fluttering in his throat, and he didn't want to talk. Yeah, well, not your fault, Sharpie said. He undid his belt one-handed, still holding Patrick by the hair. But we've got to be on the bus in 15, so you'd better make this fast. Patrick nodded eagerly, eyes on Sharpie's dick. It was already hard. Patrick opened up for it, tipping his head up. Sharpie grunted, his free hand coming to rest on the back of Patrick's neck, where he squeezed and let go, in time with the push of his hips. Patrick loved the sound of dick sucking. When it was him doing it, he made it as wet and loud as he could. And really, if Patrick had to make a list of his favourite dicks to suck, Sharpie's would be in the top five. It was a totally average dick, but Sharpie liked to be loud too. He liked to pull Patrick's hair and finger the stretched corner of his mouth and tell him to make it wetter. Awesome. When Sharpie got close, he held Patrick steady by the neck and the shoulder. Swallow it for me, come on, Peaks, he said. Patrick did, gripping helplessly at his own dick through his jeans while Sharpie came in hot pulses over his tongue. Sharpie took a sideways step and collapsed onto the edge of the bed when he was done. Damn, he said, sucking in an audible breath. Then he sat up, sighed, and tucked himself away. Patrick watched him, rocking a little on his knees and licking the taste off his teeth. Hey, Sharpie nudged him with a toe. You want me to get you off? Patrick didn't have to think about that one. Between the adrenaline he'd been rocking through breakfast and the faintly bruised feel of his mouth, he was ready to go off like a firecracker. Yeah, he said, rasping a little. Sharpie grinned again, smug. Sure, come here. Patrick ended up sitting sideways across his lap, one of Sharpie's arms tucked around his shoulder while Sharpie got him off with the other hand. He never even unzipped Patrick's jeans. He just gripped him and sort of jerked him through them until Patrick pressed his face into his neck, gasping in Sharpie's manly aftershave while he came in his underwear. "There you go," Sharpie said. He dipped Patrick's chin up and kissed him on the mouth, surprisingly sweet. "Was that good?" Patrick hummed happy assent. "Thank you," he said, a little dizzily. Sharpie laughed. "Ugh, you're such a weird little motherfucker," he said, unmistakably fond, tipping Patrick off him and onto the bed. "Bus in 5, you good?" He waited for Patrick's nod, then thumped him on the chest and swaggered back out. Patrick lay where he'd been left for a few minutes, just grinning at the ceiling and feeling fucking great. Then his phone vibrated in his pocket, and when he pulled it out he saw it was Johnny Singh. "2 minutes, come on." Ugh, what a buzzkill. Patrick rolled over, staggered to his feet, and went to change his pants. They beat the world and flew home that night. The Flames came to town, and then they had a few days off before a long trip east. They were nearly at the midpoint of the season, which was just about when everyone started getting tired and short-tempered. Hugh cancelled optional skate the day after the Flames. Patrick slept until noon, and only dragged himself up to meet Johnny for a run. Outside, because the motherfucker had all these opinions about how winter air was enlivening. "You coming up?" Patrick asked when they were nearly done with their loop. "No, I've got some shit to do," Johnny said. He bumped shoulders companionably. "Pick you up for skate tomorrow?" Patrick stared at him, trying to get anything out of Johnny's profile, and utterly failing. "Sure," he said, swallowing. "I'll later. The very corner of Johnny's mouth flickered up into a smirk. "Have a good night," he said, and kept running past Patrick's building. Patrick paced in a tight circle all the way up in the elevator. He had sweated under his layers of fleece, and now he was itchy and overheating. And Johnny hadn't wanted to come upstairs. Patrick showered, and then started some laundry while he put together lunch. The condo was too quiet, so he turned on some music. It didn't do the trick, so he swapped out for one of the Harry Potter movies. Just after 4, his cell rang. Patrick was in the bathroom, naturally, and he barely made it back out to the living room in time. "Yo," he said, breathless. "You busy?" Siebes asked. A dog barked in the background, and Patrick could hear lots of cars and people. "No, what's up?" "We'll be over in 15, Siebes said. "We've got salmon. Do you have marinade fixings?" Patrick said. "I think I've got a couple of those little packets of Italian seasoning mix." "Okay, make that 30 minutes, Siebes said, and hung up. It was closer to an hour, but they showed up with half the contents of Whole Foods, so that was okay. Siebes actually knew what he was doing. Patrick and Dunks sat at the island out of his way, and occasionally chopped things when told to. Patrick was a beer and a half down by the time the salmon went in to marinate, and they relocated to the living room and the Xbox. He ended up lying on the couch while they sat on the floor in front of him, shouting at NHL 14. It was flurrying a little. Patrick could see it if he tilted his head far back and stared hard into the light reflecting off the dark windows. But the living room was warm and a little noisy, and Patrick was pleasantly buzzed, all just the way he liked it. He got up after a while and wandered into the kitchen for another beer. He was leaning over with the fridge door propped on his shoulder when a hand landed on the back of his neck and squeezed. Patrick startled, even though he'd heard the faint scuff of bare feet on the tile. "Hey," Siebes said, "you cool?" "Yeah." Patrick stayed still, bent half over with his hand on a beer. "Cool," Siebes said, and August 9, 1988. Patrick let out a huge, relieved breath. "Yeah," he said again, and let the fridge door close. Siebes liked making out more than anyone else Patrick knew, except maybe himself. They did that for a while up against the fridge, and then, with Patrick half bent back over the island, until he was a little dizzy with the breathless kissing and the strain of holding the weird position Siebes kept putting him in. He dimly heard the game change to the pause music in the living room. And then Dunk said, "Oh, hey, cool," from the doorway. "Bring him in here." Siebes let him stand up properly, but Patrick resisted the tug on his wrist. "Hey," he said mildly, and then "Hey," more firmly when Siebes didn't notice the first time. "Hmm?" Siebes said. "Oh, Dunks, you gotta..." "Sorry," Dunk said, "I was distracted." August 9, 88. Patrick beamed at him. "Sweet," he said, and bounced a little on his toes. "Where did you want me?" They put him right where he had been, on his back on the couch. Except this time Siebes took Patrick's clothes off first. They made out like that again for a while, with Siebes' jeans rubbing uncomfortably on the bare skin inside his thighs, and Doug's hand threaded through the hair at the top of his head. Siebes fucked him there, just undoing his belt and unzipping and sticking it right in after perfunctory slick of fingers with the lube Doug's silently supplied. That was cool, because Siebes didn't have the biggest dick around, and also Patrick was totally a pro, okay? He slid his thighs up Siebes' sides, shutting his eyes and letting go of whatever noises wanted to come out. Siebes might not have much going on, but he knew exactly what to do with it, and he seemed to have an easier time than bigger guys in getting Patrick right there. Siebes stopped after a few minutes, though, and pulled out. "Want a turn?" he asked. "Thanks," Dunks said, and stood up, unbuckling his belt. Dunks didn't get undressed either. He held Patrick under his right knee and folded the leg up to his chest, though, so he could get deep. Patrick yowled on the first push, because Dunks decided he did not have a small dick. But Dunks just kept giving it to him, holding him open by the thighs, and occasionally reaching up to tug, clumsily affectionate, at the curls sticking to Patrick's face. "Hey," Siebes said after a while, "trade?" Patrick opened his eyes to see Siebes standing over him, offering Dunks a beer in one hand and an Xbox controller in the other. "Yeah," Dunks said. He pulled out with a grunt. "Just don't lose my spot," he added, making room for Siebes. "Ugh," Patrick said, hoping his face showed just how judgmental he was feeling about that. "Don't front, you love it," Siebes said cheerfully and picked up right where Dunks had left off. Patrick lost track of time and turns and a little bit here and there who was fucking him when. They kept trading off on him, swapping out the Xbox controller on what Patrick vaguely gathered was an epically awesome Call of Duty run. Patrick knew it was Siebes giving it to him when he came all over himself. Siebes figured out what was up and gave him a hand because he was a good bro like that. And then Siebes kept going like nothing had happened, which was even better. They came one after the other, just a few minutes apart. Patrick suspected some sort of weird, non-verbal, deep-airing communication, but it wasn't like he objected. Dunks was last. He stayed in Patrick for a few minutes after he came, catching his breath with his weight on his elbows. Siebes was already in the kitchen. Patrick could hear stove noises and fridge noises and the clatter of dishes. Dunks slipped out eventually and padded off to join him, but not before pulling the throw blanket down off the back of the couch and dropping it over Patrick. He dozed there for a while, sticky and content. When he woke up again, the Xbox was off and the conda smelled amazing. Dunks and Siebes were talking in the kitchen, and the oven timer was beeping. Patrick stretched and groaned and stretched some more, then staggered off to the bathroom to wash up. He threw on a sweatshirt and a clean pair of jeans, remembering only after that he had a set of clothes abandoned out in the living room. Oh well. Patrick came into the kitchen, hopping on one foot to get a sock on the other. "Oh hey," Dunks said, looking up from the island. "You good?" "I'm good," Patrick confirmed. "Food?" "Yeah," Dunks made room for him. "Come help with the spinach." Patrick went and leaned heavily against the island. He was still muzzy with sleep and sex and running through it all, happiness. And now there would be food and maybe more Call of Duty. Fucking beautiful. They beat the Devils, then went straight to Pittsburgh. Patrick conked out on Johnny's shoulder a few minutes into the flight. Johnny woke him up with the repeated application of his poking finger, escalating in viciousness until Patrick levered both eyes open. He was awake, but not really awake, on the way to the bus, and then back off it half an hour later at the hotel. Johnny stayed a step behind him the whole time, gripping him by the back of the neck to steer, and making a series of disparaging comments that faded into comforting white noise. He walked Patrick all the way to his door, then worked the keycard for him. "You coming?" Patrick asked, propped in the doorway with his bag sliding down his shoulder. Johnny hesitated, then shook his head resolutely. "Not tonight. You need to sleep." He had a point. They were so used to each other they could sleep like babies in the same hotel room, at least as long as they weren't also in the same bed. Because Patrick kicked in his sleep, allegedly, and Johnny barked out weird monotone sleep non sequiturs, definitely. And sometimes it was just too much trouble. "Okay, night." "Be good," Johnny said, and tipped Patrick out of the doorway with a gentle shove. Patrick slept late and ordered room service breakfast. He was just finishing up, scrolling through Twitter with his other hand, when there was a knock at the door. "Hang on," Patrick called. He brushed vaguely at the crumbs on his sweatpants and was sucking a streak of ketchup off his wrist when he answered the door. "Hello," Sidney Crosby said. Patrick said, "Hi?" Crosby's stare was way less intense than Johnny's murder eyes, but Patrick was used to the murder eyes and he wasn't used to this. "August 988, Crosby said, making a face like most good Canadian boys did at the reminder. Holy shit, Patrick said. Seriously? Crosby pursed his lips in irritation, just like he had about 30 seconds into each of their previous interactions. Do you need a minute? Crosby asked bitchily. No, Patrick said. Did not see this coming. He swung the door open. Coming in? Crosby did, brushing past him in a waft of laundry detergent and clean skin. Patrick followed him, watching. He'd look at Crosby plenty, who hadn't. He'd watched Crosby's good games and his bad games, made fun of his interviews, been secretly crushed when he thought Crosby would never make it back from his concussion. Crosby was just there, putting up points and being the best, and having weird conversations about fishing with Johnny and rowing in Olympic dreams. He was a constant in the universe. He was Sidney Crosby. Except as Patrick stared at the unruly hair at the back of his neck and the strength in his long body as he swung a heavy bag off his shoulder and, okay, the junk in his trunk, he became aware of categories shifting in his head. Sidney Crosby was kind of hot. Well, okie dokie then. So, Patrick said, eyeing the bag. He suddenly remembered a casual conversation with Shawsey last year, idly speculating on who Sidney Crosby fucked and how he liked to do it. Johnny had caught them at it and said a number of snotty things about having some class. And then Johnny had admitted, after a lot of prodding, that okay, he didn't actually know if Crosby liked supermodels or boys or tentacles or Marie Lemieux blow-up dolls or nothing at all. It had been funny, at least then. Now, Patrick really wanted to know what was in that bag. Crosby's glance slid disinterestedly over the breakfast tray and, without pause, the unmade bed. Do you have a good flight? He asked politely. Sure, Patrick said, blinking. Very, short. Good game against the Devils, Crosby said. I saw the highlights. Thanks, Patrick said. We try. He paused, squinting. You know you don't have to small talk me, right? Crosby tipped his head, looking actually engaged for the first time. I don't. Nah, Patrick grinned at him and took a step forward. You obviously don't want to. He licked his mouth. It's kind of the point that you get to do whatever you want. Crosby let that sail by with a blink. Good, he said. In that case, get dressed. Patrick scrunched up his face. That was really not the instruction he generally got at this phase of proceedings. Are you sure? He asked dubiously. Crosby gave him a look, straight on, unmistakably a captain's look, like Patrick was a willfully underperforming rookie. I'll be just a sec, Patrick said and dove for his clothes. It turned out that what Crosby had in his bag, and Patrick was torn on whether to think of this as anticlimax or climax, was hockey gear. He drove them away from Consort to a rink in the burbs with a Starbucks on one side and a Target on the other. There was one guy around to let them in and stare at Crosby like some people stared at pictures of Jesus. Otherwise, the place was echoingly empty. Did you rent out the whole thing? Patrick asked. He surveyed the pristine sheet of ice, glanced up to the rafters. It was kind of eerie. It's hard to get time at South Point in the middle of the season, Crosby said. Come on. He had skates for Patrick and a bunch of stick options, but minimal pads. Still, Patrick was only about 95% sure they were going to play hockey and right up until Crosby had him in the face-off circle. The other 5% was coming quietly unspooled as it played out a scene from a crazy crossover between Slapshot and 50 Shades of Grey. Right, Crosby said when they were crouched across from each other. We're going to fix your face-offs first. Okay, Patrick said, but I should point out that there isn't much there to start with. It's just not in my skill set. Crosby sighed. That's your first problem, he said. If you go in thinking like that, you won't do the work. He smiled terrifyingly. Don't worry, though. I can make you work. An hour and a half later, Patrick lay flat on his back, legs sprawled untidily. He blinked vaguely at the ceiling as his hand slid limply off his chest and thumped down to the ice. There was the rush of skates, and Crosby came to a precise halt, his toes a few inches from Patrick's face. You're fucking up the ice, Crosby said disapprovingly. That wasn't new. Crosby had been saying everything disapprovingly since the very first face-off. Patrick's hands were too tight, but his wrists were too loose. His eyes weren't tracking fast enough. His weight was distributed wrong. His shoulders were misaligned. His knee was bent too deeply, and, quite possibly, his mother had eaten the wrong kind of cereal when she was pregnant with him. Except that wasn't entirely true, because twice in over 100 face-offs, Crosby had looked thoughtfully at him and smiled a little and said, "That was good." And Patrick knew himself. He knew he worked best when bullied and dismissed. He knew Johnny's fucked up had moulded him, but it had also plugged into some corresponding fucked up that was all homegrown Patrick Kane. So the weird thing here wasn't that Crosby's constant stream of criticism was working for him. The weird thing was that when he said, good job, Patrick wanted to roll over and beg for another. He sighed and shrugged to himself. It was Sidney Crosby. Everyone was weird about Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby was weird about Sidney Crosby. I'm getting up, Patrick said and did. Ugh, I think my hands are going to fall off. We're not done, Crosby said. Turnovers. Get the puck, please. They kept at it until Patrick could barely hang on to his stick. Crosby was relentless and judgmental and precise to the point of insanity and, well, he was really fucking good was the thing. He was making Patrick better, deliberately, thoughtfully, tweaking Patrick's game like a piano tuner. Patrick felt himself slipping into a weird, receptive headspace where he got tired but it didn't seem to matter. Because Crosby was here, and Crosby had his password, and Crosby wanted him to work. Crosby wanted him to be better. It was jarring when Crosby's phone beeped and he turned towards the bench. Patrick stood still on the ice for a minute, blinking. The full weight of Crosby's attention had cloaked them for hours, and Patrick felt naked without it. Except, okay, Crosby's phone was hilarious. Patrick hadn't known anyone still made flip phones. That was possible they didn't, and Crosby was still using whatever he'd had in 2005. I've got optional skate, Crosby said, glancing back at him. He stretched his arms over his head and shimmied his shoulders a bit. Right, Patrick said. Because obviously what you want to do after hours of skating is more skating. Yes, Crosby said. Patrick laughed and stepped off the ice. Crosby dropped him back in front of the hotel. He didn't ask to come up, and Patrick didn't offer. So, this was fun, Patrick said, with the door open. Fun wasn't really the right word, but Patrick didn't have a better one. He swallowed and suddenly wished he had sunglasses. Thank you. You're welcome, Crosby said. I'll see you tomorrow when we kick your asses. Your mum couldn't kick her asses, Patrick said cheerfully and slammed the car door in Crosby's incredulous face. Shawsey and Bollig were in the lobby, arguing indecorously over something on Shawsey's phone. Patrick waved at them but didn't stop. He flopped down face first on the bed when he got back up to the room. Nap. Nap? Or food? Food. Yeah, any minute now. Patrick rolled over, swiping vaguely at the room service menu. He felt utterly drained, like he'd had a really good workout. Or a really good workout. Crosby had never touched him skin to skin. They'd only touched it all on the ice, and then they were both wearing gloves. His fingers had been impersonal on Patrick's wrists, his elbows, his waist, his thighs, and once, fleetingly, under his chin. Patrick stretched slowly, groaning. He kept thinking of the face-off circle, of leaning close in that big empty rink, hearing nothing but Crosby's breathing, watching his eyes, watching the puck. And then Crosby's watch would beep, and they would go. And Crosby would tell him what to do better, and then he would say, again, and again, and again. Patrick grinned dopily at the ceiling. I totally just had sex with Sidney Crosby, he said. They lost to the Pens in a shootout, beat the Panthers and Lightning, and made one last stop in DC before heading home. Patrick's 10 days ran out somewhere in there, but he was honestly too tired and distracted to think about it. He got a text, of course, reminding him that his time was up. Patrick glanced at it, and tossed his phone on the bench in the locker room. He was thinking about their last game, the next game, the one after that. But the awareness settled around his shoulders. He had been a lock with many keys, but now there was just one. That was always an adjustment, no matter how short his window had been. It was funny how much it mattered, just walking around, going about his life. They had the brief homestand, which, thank fuck, and decadent luxury, a full day without travel or practice or anything before the Canucks came to town. The guys went out that night. Patrick spent some quality time on the dance floor, busting his moves. Somebody had swiped his drink by the time he got back, but he just made Sadder get him a new one. Johnny was having this intense conversation with Crow, all monologuing and serious nodding. Patrick decided he did not want a piece of that, so he sat sideways in the booth with his back propped against Johnny's biceps, while Sharpie talked shit at him about everything and everybody. He crashed at Johnny's that night, and it was one of those times where they just fell into each other's lives and forgot to want alone time. They went to practice together, back to Johnny's, then to the game and home again. They passed out hard at 8 p.m. one night, and then woke up at 3 and fucked until dawn without saying a word, just sweating in Johnny's cotton sheets until they passed out again. Patrick didn't see the inside of his own condo for nearly 5 days, and then it was only because they'd started to get on each other's nerves in the not-fun way instead of the usual way. Patrick wandered around his condo naked for a few hours, playing music Johnny hated and eating things he'd disapprove of. It was totally healthy self-care and shit. His phone beeped while he was getting ready for bed that night. February 28, 2010. It's good until I tell you it's not. Patrick blinked at it, wondering why that date rang a bell. Then he figured it out and rolled his eyes hard enough to sprain something. That was fast, he texted back, instead of any number of other completely justified things he could have said. He waited, lying diagonally across his bed and staring at his phone, but there was no answer. At least not until the next afternoon, when he was waiting for Sharpie to get dressed after practice. Patrick was playing Robot Unicorn Attack 2 when a text popped up. The last one is cancelled. Use April 16, 1961 instead. Patrick blinked. The fuck? The fuck? He texted. There was a pause long enough to make him shift from foot to foot. Then, someone got hold of the last one who shouldn't have. Then a brief delay and, don't worry about it. And quickly, I handled it. Patrick thought about that for a second. Okay, that was really not cool, actually. Someone who shouldn't have it. Who was that? And that meant someone who was supposed to have it had babbled, didn't it? Which, wow, that was really shitty. An entire universe of possibilities opened up before him. The sort of things Patrick vaguely knew could happen, but never thought about. Deadspin articles, interrogation from his family, getting his password from somebody and trusting it was okay when it wasn't. It was a lie. Patrick breathed deeply and made himself calm down. He didn't think about these things because they weren't his job. And it had been taken care of, which he absolutely believed. He got a sudden mental image of a crazy interrogation scenario, a spotlight and a metal table and, where were you when the information was leaked? Sharpie found him giggling over his phone, still kind of worked up, but mostly okay. Let's go, Sharpie said, hooking an arm around his neck. We can get Maddie up from her nap if we hurry. And that was awesome, so Patrick texted back okay, fast, and followed Sharpie out. Maddie was already up when they got to Sharpie's, but that just meant she was awake enough to want to knock Patrick down on the living room carpet and crawl all over him. Abby was visibly exhausted and escaped for a nap as soon as Maddie was handed off, so Patrick stayed on toddler duty while Sharpie did the cooking. Maddie had been chatty since about 3 days after she was born. The only difference a couple of years later was that she mostly used real words now. Patrick let her play with his hair and tell him about her favourite fire truck and how Sharpie took her to the movies and a weird hallucinatory thing about unicorns eating the gremlins under her bed. Kids were awesome. Sharpie got Abby up for dinner and the three of them sat around the table for hours, talking long after the food was gone while Maddie rampaged among their feet. Patrick had always liked Sharpie from day one, but he actually liked Abby and Sharpie even better. Some of the players Patrick knew were weird about their wives, sort of buttoned down, like they didn't want anyone to mention the shit they said in the locker room or the stupid pranks they pulled. Sharpie wasn't like that. Sharpie was, if possible, more of a dick when Abby was around. But that was because Abby was actually a bigger dick than Sharpie could ever aspire to be, and the two of them fed off each other. They left the dishes for later and sat around the living room with the Incredibles on for Maddie. Except maybe not just for her, since they left it on after Abby put her to bed. Oh, Abby said, coming back and flopping down on the corner of the couch. Whoever told me this would get easier when she started walking is a fucking liar. Truth, Sharpie said. Did I tell you I caught her chewing on the baseboards the other day? Like a puppy. It was kind of disturbing. Things your daughter's put in her mouth today, an ordered list, Abby said, holding up her fingers. A whole coffee bean, a square of foil, a pen, toilet paper, arf arf, stuffed dog, she added aside to Patrick. Dazzling originality, I know. So, what I'm hearing you say is that the drink I'm about to make you should be a double, Sharpie said, standing up. Peaks? Patrick was lying on his back on the rug again, full and comfortable and happy. Yeah, he said, and held up one finger. He picked up his head to sip at his drink when it arrived, then cradled it on his chest. Abby threw half of hers down in a gulp, then sighed. That's good, she said. But you know what I could really use? Another baby to distract Maddie? Sharpie said promptly. I can still have you fixed, you know, Abby said. I was actually thinking of an orgasm, that'd do it. Sweet, Sharpie said, at the same time as Patrick groaned. He didn't mind being sexiled, but he was comfortable, okay? And then Abby grinned the evilest grin Patrick had ever seen on her. That was really fucking saying something. Hey, Patty, she said. April 1661. What? Sharpie howled. He flopped back on the couch, throwing his hands up. The fuck? How come you got it and I didn't? Abby shrugged elaborately. Search me. She prodded at Patrick with a toe. Like I would know, Patrick said. He didn't actually like it when people asked him questions like that. So he sat up and put his drink on the coffee table. So, he said, glancing between them. If this isn't cool... Yeah, no, Abby said. He's been telling me all about screwing you for over a year. He does not get to be pissy now that it's my turn. Hey, no, do what you want with him, Sharpie said, waving a hand. I'm just saying, what the fuck, I'm right here. He narrowed speculative eyes at Patrick. Hey, he said slowly, do you think... No, Patrick said immediately. Aw, Sharpie leaned down and cupped his neck, just like he had a few weeks ago when he had his dick in Patrick's mouth. Come on, what harm could it do? Patrick twitched his chin away. You can't, he said. You don't have my password. Learning it from Abby doesn't count, he added as Sharpie opened his mouth. Look, it's not my fault you don't like the rules. That's true, Sharpie said. There was an evil glint in his eye suddenly, but it wasn't meant for Patrick. Sorry, Sharpie added, sitting back, waving magnanimously at Abby. Your show. Gee, thanks, Abby said tartly, but the smile she turned on Patrick was nice. Come here. He slid over to her on his knees, and she nodded approvingly at him, tugging him between her thighs. Then she tipped his face up, holding him by the chin, and studying him closely enough to make him squirm. So, Abby said conversationally, I've gotten an earful about how this is supposed to work, but no one bothered to mention what's in it for you. I get laid a lot, Patrick said, a little snottily. He could see down her shirt from here, and under the circumstances it seemed like a pretty dumb question. Abby rolled her eyes. Forget I asked, she said, and unbuttoned her jeans. Patrick said he came all over your face once. That's what I'm going to do too. She did, eventually, after an amazing, tortuous interlude of holding him by the back of the neck and telling him what to do, and how hard, and for how long. There were two kinds of going down on a lady in Patrick's experience. There was the kind where you got your tongue on her clit, and there was the kind where she got her pussy on your face. This was definitely the second kind. Patrick's favourite. How did she know? She got his tongue inside her, then sort of rode it until Patrick was breathless and whining. You can jerk off if you want, she said, like, whatever, it had nothing to do with her. Patrick grabbed his dick and Abby hoisted one leg over his shoulder, wriggling to get his tongue deeper. He tried to put his fingers in her when she let him up for breath, but she pushed his hand away. That's cheating, she said. She guided his mouth to her clit for the first time. Yeah... right there. Patrick sucked and hummed and kept rubbing one out kind of frantically. Harder, Abby gritted out. Then, after a beat, she said, bite me. At the same time, Sharpie said, bite her. Patrick did, scraping his teeth until Abby jolted and kicked his back. He'd almost forgotten Sharpie was there, and the reminder lit him up. It wasn't that Sharpie was watching him do this, though that was nice. It was that Sharpie was all the way over there, on the other end of the couch, because Sharpie didn't have his password, so Sharpie wasn't allowed to touch him tonight. Patrick was into Sharpie in an uncomplicated, put-your-dick-in-my-mouth kind of way, so, yeah, he'd hit that pretty much any time, given the chance. But knowing that he couldn't, that tonight it was just Abby... They'd wanted to know why earlier. Patrick didn't know why. He didn't need to know why. He just needed to know what his password was, and who had it and who didn't. And as long as he had that, he was good. There were simple rules, and he could follow them. And as long as he did, things would be okay. Patrick came in his hand, thinking about Sharpie all the way over there, and the niggling unease from this afternoon settled. Abby got hers a few minutes after him. She wasn't one of those ladies who got super wet, but her thighs flexed powerfully around his head while she rode it out. She held his mouth on her pussy even after she was done. Patrick left his tongue on her, letting her control how much pressure she got with both hands in his hair. "Keep going," she said. "Slow. Yeah." She kept him on her clit for a long time, first gentling her down, then working her back up again. Patrick closed his eyes, slowing down his breathing while he ran his tongue around and around her opening. He was assuming she wanted another one, which he was totally down for, even though his mouth was going numb. But then she pulled him off, hissing out a long sigh. "Good boy," she said, looking him dead in the eye. Patrick smiled through his shiver. He leaned in against the pressure of her hands and kissed her pussy, his mouth open. "Thank you," he said. It was obvious, once the tunnel vision cleared up, that she and Sharpie were like 10 seconds from jumping each other. Patrick slipped away to the downstairs bathroom to wash his face. Abby had gotten him wet from the jaw to the cheekbones. He taxi-magicked a cab while he was in there and wandered off to finish his neglected drink while he waited. Abby and Sharpie were already gone, and Patrick flopped on the couch, beaming indiscriminately at the ceiling and feeling like 10 pounds of awesome in a 5-pound bag. He had the best friends. The Canucks came into town on a Tuesday. The game was a high-scoring mess, and Patrick knew Q hated that kind of hockey. But personally, he thought it was awesome. A little less awesome when they lost by one on a Bieksa goal 30 seconds from the horn, though. The locker room was pretty quiet after. Patrick didn't feel great, but he didn't feel terrible either. He cleared out a little early because Crow was visibly frayed around the edges, and goalie problems were categorically not Patrick's responsibility. Rookies missing their mummies? Sure. Guys needing a night to let it all go? He was in on it. But goalieship was way above his pay grade. Roberto Longo was leaning against the wall opposite the locker room, reading something on his phone. Patrick nodded politely as he passed, and Longo instantly straightened up and followed him. "Kane," he said. "Were you waiting for me?" Patrick asked, baffled. He knew Longo like he knew most guys in the league. On the ice, and in gossip, and here and there from being at the same parties with the same assholes. But it wasn't like they were friends. "Yes," Longo said. "Why?" Patrick kept walking and Longo paced him, hands stuffed in his pockets. "I've got your password," Longo said. Patrick nearly choked on his tongue.
"Really?"
"Yep." "Okay," Patrick said slowly. Then a thought chilled him and he stopped in the middle of the hallway. "Which one?" Longo was still holding his phone. He flicked at it, scrolling through texts, and showed Patrick the screen. "Yeah, that was legit." "Okay," Patrick said, relaxing a little. You've got my password." He squinted at Longo, head tipped to the side. The thing was, doing this had changed him. Time was, Patrick would have cheerfully banged every third person he met between the ages of 18 and 40. Okay, 16 and 50. It wasn't personal, exactly. He just liked people and he was a horn dog. It was the great tragedy of his late teens and early 20s that only about 1% of the people he wanted to bang would bang him. And also, it turned out, that 1% was generally exactly the people he never should have looked at in the first place. Patrick still thought it wasn't fair to blame him for that, because, seriously, how was he supposed to be able to tell? Sometimes you just have to suck it and see. He didn't want as many people now. He still noticed plenty, but it was just so much easier to wait for his password. Safer, too. It was kind of Pavlovian now. Someone would have it, even someone he'd never really thought about before. And them having it would be enough, because just the permission would crank his engine. And the next thing he knew, he was hotter than hell and begging for it. So yeah, this could work. "What do you want?" Patrick asked. Longo put his phone away. "Oh, nothing," he said casually.
"Say what?"
Longo shrugged. "It's cool, man. I just wanted you to know that I have your password. I'm not going to use it." He patted Patrick's cheek and wandered off. Patrick stood there for a minute, his mouth open. Then he spun on his heel and marched back to the locker room. Johnny and Crow were coming out together in the middle of a serious-sounding discussion. "Sorry," Patrick said, cutting Johnny off. "I've just got a..." He stepped in front of Johnny, then just kept walking until they bumped together. Then he grabbed Johnny's shoulders, buried his face in Johnny's T-shirt, and screamed out his frustration. "Okay," Patrick said, straightening up. "That's better." Crow was staring at him. Patrick said helplessly. He did feel better, but still a little crazy. Man, Charlie Brown probably developed mad kinks as an adult after the football thing. They had a quick trip to California, where the Ducks beat the crap out of them. It was a shit show from start to finish. Patrick wasn't sure, but he had a feeling it had started with Crow and then spread forward to the rest of them. Crow seemed to think so too, at least judging by the way he threw his shit around in silence in the locker room after. Siebes rallied them to go out. Patrick thought that was a bad idea at first. Messy losses and bar crawls did not always go together well. Patrick was totally in, though, because bad idea drinking was still, and always, the best drinking. But it turned out okay. They took over a couple of tables on the sidewalk outside a bar, mostly for the novelty of being able to do that in T-shirts and without heat lamps. Patrick floated from table to table, nursing a couple of beers and watching Shorzy strike out spectacularly, with every girl who walked by, including one that Patrick was 90% sure was actually a prostitute. Sharpie thought so too, and they had an extended debate behind Shorty's back, using only facial expressions, about whether they were obliged to tell him. It was a moot point, since Shorty didn't even get close to sealing the deal. Johnny sat at the far end of their line of tables, with his feet up on the opposite chair and his extended legs blocking Crow in. There was a lot of hunching and scowling from Crow, an even more monotone face from Johnny, and Patrick stayed well out of that, thank you very much. They wrapped it up early, going back to the hotel en masse. Patrick was still wide awake, so he elbowed Johnny in the back of the elevator. "Movie?" he asked. "No," Johnny said flatly. "Oh, come on, I'll even let you pick," Patrick wheedled. Which was a fucking sacrifice, okay, since Johnny would pick a French movie whenever he could, even if he was visibly bored by it, just to be a dick about monolingualism. "No," Johnny said again. "Ugh, you're such a fail canoe," Patrick said. "I bet Shorzy will." Johnny's hand came down hard on the back of his neck. "No," he said for a third time. "Go to bed." And he pushed Patrick out onto his floor. "Unbelievable," Patrick said to the closing elevator door. But he went to his room anyway, because they did have an early flight, and going east always messed with his sleep. He puttered around the room for a bit, changing into sweats, and reading Facebook and texting with his sisters at the same time. He was brushing his teeth when there was a knock at the door. It was Crow, and he was kind of drunk. Not falling down drunk, but very Quebecois all of a sudden. "Did you forget where your room is?" Patrick asked. "Hey?" Crow blinked, confused. "No, I was... Look, I do actually know when I'm being pranked, despite what you guys think." "You really don't," Patrick said. Crow wasn't a space case like some goalies he'd known, but he wasn't exactly normal either. The time Sharpie replaced all the clothes in Crow's away bag with tie-dye, Crow had just shrugged and worn the stuff, and still did, occasionally, months later. "Yeah, well, even I spotted this one," Crow said. "But hey, they can say what they want about me, but they don't say I'm a bad sport. April 1661. "Dude, you should have just said." Patrick swung the door open. Crow followed him in. There was a brief, weird silence where Crow stared expectantly at him, and Patrick stared expectantly back, because, hello? Then Crow looked pointedly around the room, even leaning over to peek into the bathroom. "Okay, you do know this isn't actually a prank, right?" Patrick said. He squinted dubiously. People always knew the score by the time they got to him. He'd never had to deal with this before. "Dude, seriously? It is what it looks like? If you have my password, you can do whatever you want with me." Crow laughed. Yeah, no. Whatever I want that isn't on the giant list of things I'm not allowed to do with you." Patrick blinked. "There's a list?" Which he immediately realised was a dumb question, because, yeah, okay, of course there was a list. He'd just never thought about it before. Crow was back to looking like he expected Sharpie to jump out of the closet with a video camera. "That list is longer than my contract," he said. "Not my department," Patrick said. "I'm shit at administrative stuff." He was also shit at convincing people of things, which was to say that he was shit at leadership. And he was cool with that, always had been. But Crow looked unhappy, the way he did sometimes, and there was something genuinely messed up about the whole thing. The twist to his mouth when he'd said, "They can say whatever they want about me." That Patrick couldn't put a finger on. It made him wish he was better at this. "Look," he said, making eye contact. "This is for real. It's... my passwords are kind of a big deal to me. No one's fucking with you, okay? Crow's face moved like he was fighting with something. Explain it to me, he said. Patrick took two steps and sat at the foot of the bed. This wasn't like Abby asking. She'd had his password too, but she'd just wanted to make him say dirty things with it. What do you want to know? He asked. Crow perched on the other corner of the bed, next to the lamp. The light shone on the side of his face. The shadows under his eyes were epic. Okay, he said gingerly. What sort of things do people want to do with you? Mostly sex, Patrick said. Mostly. And, okay, Patrick had actually been dying to tell someone the Sidney Crosby story, because it was awesome, and there were only a few people who had enough of the picture to get it. So he told it to Crow, drawing it out. Crow listened in stillness, leaning forward, his hands on his knees. He smiled once, halfway through, and Patrick almost fist-pumped. He let the silence stretch when he was done, even though it was kind of hard work not talking sometimes. Crow stirred at last and said, "And the sex?" Patrick nodded, smiling. "Dude," he said, "it's awesome. It's like life is a restaurant and I'm eating dinner, and then sex just shows up like a dessert I didn't order. It's the best." Something in Crow's face moved again. Patrick wasn't sure, but he thought it was hunger. "Why?" Crow said softly. Patrick chewed his lip. "It's complicated." He pulled his feet onto the bed and tucked them under him. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes I make bad choices about who to trust." Crow tipped his head neutrally. "So that's not my job anymore," Patrick said. "The making choices part. I still do the trusting part. I'm good at that." Unlike some people he could name who apparently had giant lists of forbidden acts, the freakazoid. Crow absorbed that for a silent minute. Patrick left him alone until he couldn't stand it anymore. "We can watch a movie," he said, "or, fuck, I don't know, we could play cards." Or Crow could leave, but Patrick really didn't want to plant that idea. Crow inhaled, his shoulders rising. Patrick was reminded of the way he looked in the locker room when he'd just let in 3 soft goals, and he knew he had to go back out there and be better. "No," Crow said. He reached out a long goalie's arm, hesitated, then brushed his fingertips down the side of Patrick's neck, from his jaw to the collar of his T-shirt. Patrick breathed in sharply. He felt amazed and he didn't even know why. "Yeah," Patrick said, swaying towards him. Crow moved in, held his face, and kissed him. He was breathing hard before their lips even touched. It was soft and careful, fall of 2 seconds, and then Patrick thought, to hell with it, and let himself groan and lean into Crow's space, gripping his biceps. And Crow just... he lit up like a goal light. He kissed Patrick fiercely, messily, holding him by the jaw and the waist, then knocked him backward onto the bed and crawled over him, biting at his mouth. Patrick clutched at him, amazed and turned on. Jesus Christ, if he'd known this was buried in there... Crow jerked away suddenly, pushing up onto his hands. "Sorry," he said. "I didn't. I'm just..." He looked like he was coming unhinged. "Hey." Patrick ran a hand down his back, having visions of high-strung horses. "This is really not me objecting." Crow stared at him for a long moment, his eyes wide and cheeks flushed. "Okay," he said to himself. "Okay." He lowered himself carefully back down and tipped his head, angling for another kiss. Patrick wrapped both arms around him, enjoying the weight pressing over him. They made out for a long time. Crow was more controlled now, holding himself in reserve. Patrick wanted to shred that reserve with his teeth and get another look at what was underneath it, because, wow. So he bit Crow's lip and let out all the high-pitched, needy noises he usually swallowed and wrapped his legs around Crow's waist. "Please," he said, having nothing specific in mind other than, "more of that, now, and thank you." "Yeah, whatever you want," Crow said, blinking dizzily. He sat up and plucked at Patrick's shirt. Patrick skimmed out of it, letting himself frown a bit when his face was hidden. "It's the other way around, you know," he said. "Remember? You can do anything. Except what's on the list." "I just want to touch you," Crow said, and then made a face like maybe he hadn't meant for that to come out. Patrick flung his arms wide open, then actually grabbed Crow's wrists when that didn't work. So, put your hands on me, he said. Come on, touch me. And somehow, that did the trick, because Crow went wild again. He ran his hands all over Patrick, pinching his nipples, squeezing his thighs, his biceps, his ass. And his mouth went everywhere. Patrick groaned and wriggled at the kisses to his neck, then called out when Crow bit into his abs. Then Crow stopped suddenly again, and Patrick kind of wanted to cry. I've never done this before, Crow said. Not with a guy, I mean. Patrick blinked. He'd known that, actually, intuited it somehow. But he hadn't known he'd known. Okay, he said. That's cool. I've wanted to, Crow said quickly. Patrick had figured out that he liked both boys and girls when he was 15. He'd had a difficult time with it at first, fought with himself and the future that was just within his reach. That had taken about 5 minutes. He'd been cool with it after that. He'd gathered since then that lots of people weren't so lucky. It had been a pretty bad 5 minutes. What would it be like for 5 years? Hey, Sam, you're first, Patrick said. Want me to be gentle with you? No, Crow said, then shut the fuck up. Come here, Patrick said. It got crazy awesome after that. Crow put his hands everywhere, greedy. Just loosening the drawstring on Patrick's sweatpants made him visibly breathless and feverish. He stripped Patrick down to the skin and rolled him across the bed, still fully clothed, sinking his teeth into Patrick's neck, his shoulder, the cut of his pectorals. Sorry, should I not? He asked, looking up apologetically when Patrick yelped. Yes, you should, Patrick said immediately. Come on, bite me, fuck me up. Crow thunked his forehead down on Patrick's chest and breathed deeply for a minute. I really want to suck you off, he said, looking up at last. Can we do that? Yeah, Patrick said, nodding until his neck hurt. Don't be stupid, of course. Crow slid down the bed, scratching his blunt nails along Patrick's ribs. You've got to tell me what you like, he said, and bent his head. Patrick tried to be a gentleman, but his hands kept fluttering around Crow's head, and he seemed to be really into it when Patrick petted his hair, and even more so when he pulled it. Patrick bent his knees, sliding the soles of his feet up Crow's back. He let himself say all sorts of stupid shit, about how much he liked it, and how hot Crow's mouth was. And yeah, like that. A little wetter. A little harder. Crow came up for breath, then went right back to it. He looked gratified and amazed in the brief glimpse Patrick got of his face. He was into it, way into it, rubbing at Patrick's thighs with restless hands and getting spit everywhere. He touched Patrick's balls, stroked them, then rolled them with increasing confidence. And then one finger slid, hesitated, and moved again behind Patrick's balls with a bust of bravado. Yeah, awesome, here, Patrick said. Give me your hand. Crow did. He watched, big-eyed and open-mouthed, while Patrick licked two of his fingers, then sucked them wet. Okay, Patrick said, guiding his hand back to where it had been. You want to put your fingers in me? You can. Yeah, there you go. Push harder. You've got to... Oh. Crow watched his fingers go in, flickering quick looks up to check Patrick's face. It was too gentle at first. Patrick had to tell him to go harder, and then whine for it, and then actually grab Crow's wrist and make him. But he finally got it, and after a few minutes, Patrick was curling up, scrabbling at Crow's biceps, the only sound in the room his grunts, and the dirty, wet slide of Crow's fingers giving it to him, deep. Oh my God, Crow breathed. He went back down, sucking hard. The bed was rocking, and Patrick dimly realised that Crow was rubbing off on the comforter. Which was a waste, because he could be rubbing off on Patrick. But his sounds were going liquid, his mouth slackening and tightening around Patrick's dick, and Patrick didn't have the heart to stop him. He sat up enough to watch when Crow came. His eyes were closed, his mouth full. He was flushed red and damp with sweat. And he sucked Patrick's dick the whole time, pushing his fingers with sudden roughness and groaning like he'd never had it so good as doing it to Patrick. And after that, the only gentlemanly thing to do was to show his appreciation by coming all over himself. Which Patrick did, like a good bro. Crow jerked him through it, unnaturally silent but still so watchful. He even kept his fingers where they were, thrusting gently through the come down until Patrick touched his wrist. They lay where they had dropped for a while, both sticky, Patrick completely naked and Crow completely dressed. "Hey," Patrick said eventually. He nudged Crow's shoulder with a knee. "Now you've done a dude, congrats." Crow rolled his eyes, but the corner of his mouth tipped up. Patrick petted idly at his hair, stroking it away from his temple. He felt fond, touched, and a little protective. And Crow looked like a guy who'd just done a dude for the first time and who was feeling a lot of feelings about it. "Hey," Patrick said impulsively. "You should know what it means, you getting my password. That doesn't happen if you're not trusted. Trustworthy." Crow shied like Patrick had hit him. Patrick didn't know what to do, or say, or not say, or shit. Goad is so not his problem. Except tonight Crow was here with his password. Crow was his problem. Because, and it was a shock to think of it, because trust had to go both ways or it didn't work. Patrick tended to think of his passworded hookups as hookups. Fun, sometimes weird. Mike Richards was a seriously kinky motherfucker. Usually awesome. But like the sex equivalent of good stretches. Stuff that happened because he needed it, and smart people told him how to do it right. It had never occurred to him, right until the very moment Crow was tipping his face away, hiding his eyes behind his lashes, that maybe all this wasn't just for Patrick. Maybe there was stuff he was being entrusted with too. Crow turned his head and silently kissed the inside of Patrick's thigh. He lingered there for a long time, head bent. He had himself mostly together when he looked up. "Will I get your password again?" he asked. "I don't know," Patrick said. "I hope so, but it isn't up to me." Crow nodded like he actually got that now. "Thank you," he said soberly. "I need it." He gestured, hand suddenly restless. "Thank you." "My pleasure," Patrick said, leering to break the moment. Crow rolled his eyes and twisted off the bed, groaning. "Christ, the time," he muttered, then said something else in exhausted French. He'd never so much as taken off his shoes, so he didn't have anything to do. Patrick watched him realise that and turn red. "Kiss me good night," Patrick said, bossily. Crow came round the side of the bed and did. His hands were big on Patrick's face, and Patrick closed his eyes under a rush of warm animal pleasure. "Good night," Crow murmured and left. Patrick got up to clean up after a while, then slid under the covers naked. He was expecting to go right to sleep because that had been a hell of a nightcap. But somehow, it just wasn't happening. Patrick tossed and turned, punched his pillow and grumbled in the dark. Eventually, the restlessness drove him out of bed. He threw on jeans and a t-shirt, but didn't bother with shoes. Johnny was one floor up. They had the singles now, but Patrick still kept track of Johnny's room number, part habit, part codependency. He tapped quietly at the door, then louder still. Johnny was puzzled and bleary-eyed when he answered. "Ugh, what?" he said. "Can I?" Patrick gestured, and Johnny stepped aside, scrubbing at his face. Patrick dropped his pants on the floor and slid into the rumpled bed, right in the warm spot where Johnny had been. "Make yourself at home," Johnny said, 80% asleep, but still an asshole. But he went round to the other side of the bed and got in, stretching out his arm for Patrick to curl into. Patrick did, exhaling a long sigh. There was a silence, just the two of them breathing in the dark. Then Patrick said, "I think Crow's okay. I don't know, I did my best." Johnny hummed uncommunicatively. "Can you cancel my password?" Patrick said suddenly. Johnny sat up and flicked on the lamp. "Why?" Patrick shrugged, made a face. "I don't know, it just got kind of intense. Good intense, but I think I'm done for a while." Johnny stared hard at him for a minute. Then he silently got up and retrieved his phone, sending a series of texts while he stood by the desk in his underwear. "Need to let some people know," he said. "Like who?" Patrick asked interestedly. Johnny gave him a superior look. "When you need to know, you'll know," he said. He sent a last text and Patrick's phone beeped in his pants pocket. There.
Cool,
Patrick said, and dropped back onto the pillow. Now I'm just yours again, lucky you. Johnny paused in the act of turning off the lamp. Don't be stupid, he said witheringly. You're always mine. He squinted at Patrick, then leaned over and pressed at the spot on his neck. Patrick hissed. There had to be a bruise coming up where Crow had bitten. Were you good? Johnny asked slowly. Patrick almost said something salty about how it was hard to be good when Roberta Longo was fucking with your head. But in the end, he decided it wasn't worth the grief, so he just nodded. Johnny turned off the lamp and got back into bed. Their bodies settled into each other familiarly. Patrick wanted to fuck in an intellectual sense, because it was Johnny, and the sex after his password was revoked was always awesome. But his body just wasn't having it. He could nuzzle into the stubbly skin under Johnny's jaw, though. It was hard to remember just how fucked up he'd been when they'd first gotten their shit together. Patrick had never in his life maintained a relationship for more than 6 weeks, and a solid half of his breakups had been the result of him fucking someone else. Sometimes not even on purpose, okay? But then there was Johnny, who was horrible and enraging, and who lit Patrick up from the inside out, and who made him want to work on their relationship and all sorts of other crazy shit. And Patrick had known that he would fuck it up, and equally known that it would kill him. Johnny had listened to his objection when it finally came tumbling out, and he'd thought about it for a while. Then he'd said, "It's fine, I'll handle it." And that was that. "Crow's super hot," Patrick whispered into the dark. "Slut," Johnny whispered back. "Yeah," Patrick said. "I love you too."